excited about 2017. And like, you know, I get excited about every year when it begins. I do. But like this year, I feel like there's some significant things that God's going to do. And you know, not just in my life, but in the life of the church, in the life of this community, in the life of the Sunshine Coast, I'm excited about what God's going to do because we are pushing through, we are pressing in, we are saying no to the work of the enemy and saying yes to the work of God. Amen? Yes. Amen? And we are believing that God's going to remove that blanket, that covering that's over the Sunshine Coast, that hampers and that holds back the people of God and those that are here in this land that refuse to listen to the word of God, that God would remove that and that they will receive what the Lord has for them. I'm believing that for 2017. And he's going to use us, he's going to use his people to see that happen. Are you willing and are you ready to step into that today? Yeah? Amen. I heard a few amens. Amen. Come on, it's good. We got to get excited about what God's going to do. It's not about hype. It's not about emotion. It's about saying, Lord, my course is set. Dave, where's Dave? Where's Dave? Dave, what was that word you had this morning in the prayer room?
The arrow. Yeah.
The arrow. That's good. That's good. And that lines up with what we've been praying. Lord, give us direction. Give us vision. Lord, we want to have arrow-like, straight, laser-like focus on what God wants us to do. So I'm very excited about what God has for us this year. And that was confirmation this morning because I hadn't talked to Dave and we were just, there's a picture that he had as we were praying in the back room. God is good. Let me remind you, we have prayer every Sunday morning before church. And so if you're able to be here and come and you want to pray, we invite you to come and pray at 9:15 in the back room down there where the hallway, where the nurseries are, and come and pray and just spend time in the Lord. Pray and ask God to speak because God does speak in amazing ways and it's important for us to gather together and do that. But I am trusting that this year truly is a year of God-given possibilities, a year of God-given possibilities as we trust God to work in and through our lives. There's that familiar word again, in and through. As we trust God to work in and through our lives, we should anticipate good things from the Lord. Do we anticipate good things from the Lord? You know, we need to anticipate that. We need to have an excitement about what the good things of the Lord are. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we say, well, we'll see what God's going to do. Oh, maybe he's going to do something. That's not anticipating. That's hoping for the best. Anticipate the good things of God. Because it's about having that heart that's open, saying, God, I want to be used by you and grow in you. I believe that for many of us, it's one of those natural times of the year to evaluate. It's one of those natural times of the year to take a measure of your past year. What's it been like? To make some new goals. And maybe you've already started with yours, or maybe you're thinking about maybe doing it. Maybe you're thinking, I never really make those goals anyway, so why bother? You know? Maybe that's you. Don't raise your hand if it is. It's good to have goals. It's good to have goals. Or perhaps it's a good chance to look back again at some plans that you had, but you didn't really see them happen last year. And it's always good to ask how the last year was in your life and in your relationship, maybe with your spouse, or maybe in your work goals. You know, how did you do that? Did you evaluate? Do you look back as you look forward? You know, it's said, and how many of you heard the term hindsight is 20/20? You heard that? Hindsight is 20/20. You know, it's always easier to look back and go, oh, why did I not realize that? Why didn't I see that so clearly? Well, hindsight, looking back, is always 20/20. And truth be told, I have looked back at some years and thought, boy, I really wished I would have made some better decisions. Is there anybody here that can empathize with me? Yes, I see that hand. I see that hand. Hallelujah. But you know what? At the same time, I can think back to many years where I've been so amazed at what God has done, what he has done working in and through in a way that is way outside of what I would have envisioned at the beginning of that year. You see, we can plan our steps, but what about God? What does God do? What does God do? He leads us, right? He guides us. He leads us in that. And so we can go trusting that the Lord has good plans for us, but it's good to make goals. You know, looking forward, we can ask the question, how will this year be greater than last year? All right, do you ever do that? Maybe. And now, I'm not really that much different than any of you here. I like to make New Year's resolutions. Are there any of you that make New Year's resolutions? Do some of you? No, not anymore. I guess, is it what you just decide at some point? What's the point? No, you know what? Yeah, I do. I still do. I guess I haven't gotten to that point yet where I just say, you know what? Whatever. Meh. You know, that's popular. So some of you do make New Year's resolutions, some of you don't. But I discovered that most of my New Year's resolutions are fairly typical. You know, the ones that probably you've thought about year after year. You know, a couple of the popular ones. I'm going to lose some weight, or I'm going to learn something new. I'm going to travel more. That's always good. You know, here it doesn't take much. You just get to the ferry, you're traveling more. Most of the time, if it's running on time and whatnot. You want to spend more time doing the things that you love doing, right? That's a good New Year's resolution, to spend more time doing the things you love doing. To spend more time with family and good friends. That's kind of a commitment that I've made over this last year and I really want to work towards. To eat healthier and to spend less. That's a good one too. It's a good one too. You know, the truth is, like me, you might start out with great intentions, but you find yourself getting sidetracked partway into it. So why not consider something new for that New Year's resolution? Something new. What if the top of your list for 2017 was to get to know and follow God in a deeper way this year? I mean, that will bring you the most benefit. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating healthier and spending less, losing a few pounds. I know I could lose a few pounds, right? Nothing wrong with those things. But you will get the most benefit. You will get the most blessing, the most reward, the most fulfillment out of getting to know and following God in a deeper way this year. Do you believe me? You with me? You see, the most important thing in your life as a Christian is to follow and obey God, to worship Him, to live for Him and with Him. For Him and with Him. So let's look at God's word this morning. Again, turn to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to focus on verse 10, but I want to read from 1 to 10. This is what it says. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life. You died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all His glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and its wicked deeds. Now listen to this last verse. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Amen. Amen. So I want to encourage you by telling you that this year ahead is a year of great and exciting possibilities with God. Embrace that truth today and live in the power of the Holy Spirit daily. Daily. If you want to see God moving in your life, in and through your life, you need to live in the power of the Holy Spirit every day. You know, when we focus on verse 10, it says this, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. I'm excited for each one of us as we make the choice to step into discovering, declaring, and demonstrating our very real God in deeper ways in our lives and as a family here at CLA. Are you with me? Can we pray together? Father, we thank You this morning Lord, that you lead us. God, that we can hear your still small voice. And Lord, as our hearts are turned towards you and our minds are turned towards you, our lives are turned towards you, you don't hide from us. But you speak to us. And Lord, you give us opportunity to listen to your word. You give us opportunity to walk in your ways. You give us opportunity to grow. And Lord, you give us opportunity to share. Father, I thank you that your word is alive. I thank you, Jesus, that you're alive in us. God, again, my prayer is that for every one of us, Lord, there'd be no one in this room, not one person in this room whose relationship with you is just about coming and going to church on Sunday. Lord, I pray that for each one of us, each and every one of us here, God, our heart and our life would be about saying, Jesus, what do you want to do with me today? Where do you want to lead me today? How am I going to discover you more? How do you want to use me to declare your truth? And Lord, how do you want me to demonstrate your love for the lost? Your love, Lord, for your people. God, help us to be humble. Help us to serve. Help us to not want to get ahead of another one, another person, Lord, but to want to serve. God, show us in our hearts what we need to give to you. Show us in our hearts, Lord, the things that pull us away from you. God, I thank you that you give us good gifts. Lord, I thank you that you actually grant the desires of our heart and beyond. Lord, you're so good. We trust your timing. We trust your leading. Help us to submit to you, to bow a knee to you, and to follow you. So we'll trust you today that you will speak, Lord, and we will listen and we will obey. Follow you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 You know, one of the things I'm looking forward to this year is going deeper into God's desire to use his people to build his church here on the Sunshine Coast. As many of you know that have been a part of CLA for the last number of years, we have been engaged in what's been called Vision 2016. Vision 2016 for this past 3 years. And we just kind of wrapped up that vision at the end of 2016. And now we're into 2017, and there's a new vision that the Lord would bring, a fresh vision, but we're going to continue on. We haven't completed everything. It's not all finished, what we had planned for those 3 years. God is continuing to work. It's his timing, and we will step out in that obedience. But I'm excited to see what God's going to do as we continue on that path. You know, this year I want us to hear what God is saying to us as a church and to continue to move forward with courage and boldness. And I say that very specifically. Because there's a temptation to be afraid, and there's a temptation to kind of pull back. And clearly, you don't put the feathers on the arrow to just put it away. Do you? You put the feathers on the arrow and you make it ready to fly straight because you're going to launch that thing. And you're going to hit the target. So we're going to keep going. We're going to keep pressing in. We're going to keep pushing down with the work of the enemy as he continues to try to stop the work of God's people. And we're going to step forward and step out in faith and move forward. And I'm excited about that. He is calling us forward. We can move forward with him. I believe that God actually wants to see his church united in vision as we go forward from this day. So January 24th to the 26th, I'm going to ask you to join me for 3 days of prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting on January 24, 25, and 26. You're invited to come. You can join me to pray and to seek the Lord as he leads us on his mission to reach the lost all around, those that need to hear the good news. The church is going to be open as it always is those days, and you're welcome to come anytime in the day to come and pray, find space with the Lord, and just to pray, seek him. And we're going to be having a meeting at 5:15. I wanted to make it 5. I was going to make it 5:16, but I thought, no, better make it 5:15. You know, it just makes more sense. So 5:15 here, those 3 days, and we're going to pray together for an hour and seek the Lord. Amen? Does that sound good? Yeah, sounds good. How many of you have done fasting before? A few of us have done fasting before. Yeah, you know what? You can fast a meal. You can fast the day. You can. There's things that you can fast. You can decide what you're going to do. But I encourage you, if CLA is your home church and you just want to come and join along together with us, let's pray and let's fast and plan to be here for those 3 days. Will you believe with me that God has greater things in store for us in 2017? Will you believe that with me to see his kingdom expanded in width and in depth as we grow deeper in him? I'm believing that. I believe that every encounter with Jesus can be life-changing. Do you believe that today? Come on. Remember I talked about John chapter 4. I was reading that earlier. It was about Jesus, again, speaking to that woman, and he tells her about that living water. I'm going to just read that for you again, that one verse. Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. My prayer this morning is that we would not thirst for the water of this world that only makes us thirsty again. But instead, we would desire the living water that Jesus says will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So this morning, for the next few minutes, I want to challenge us and encourage us for the next few minutes to consider again that New Year's resolution by deciding to take this year and to do 3 important things to invest in your walk with Jesus. Okay, so let's begin. Number one, decide this year to grow in your faith, to grow in your faith in God. Okay, decide that. You have to make a decision. Say, I'm going to grow in my faith in God. Now, again, this sounds like a very simple thing to do, doesn't it? Yes, I'm going to grow in my faith in God. But the reality is it's much easier said than truly done. We actually have to be proactive in deciding how that's going to happen. Okay, so how can you grow your faith this year? By wanting his plans for your life and trusting him, okay? Wanting his plans for your life and trusting him. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future." Now, how that works out sometimes is a journey, isn't it? That's a journey. As many of you I know around the room could raise your hand and say, yes, that is correct. It's a journey. But the word is still true. I know the plans I have for you. They're good plans. Not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Psalm 32, verse 8, it says this. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 promises us this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Are you here this morning and you're not sure which path to take? Are you here this morning and you're kind of confused maybe about what God wants to do? What does God's word say? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not just this little part that maybe you've reserved for Jesus. With all your heart. With everything. With all that you have. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. You know, it's interesting when you know, you pastor a church and you know, this is my first time pastoring a church. I'm always like, Lord, what path do you want us to take? Where are we going? What are we doing? Can you speak to me about that? And there's some times where I kind of say, you know, I'm just being honest with you. You know, it's like, oh, Lord, what do you, is that you speaking? Am I hearing you clearly here? The truth is this, trust in him and he will lead us. This is his church. It's his church. He has led his church for many years. He will continue to lead his church until he returns. Amen? Come on. Yeah? Yeah. Let's do that. You know, the truth is that God actually has the best in mind for you in 2017. The Bible says so. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, many of us actually really like to have control, don't we? Are there a few of us here that like to have control? Again, you don't have to raise your hand. We like to have control. We don't like to give up control in anything, really, especially our futures, right? But listen to me. We have to be reminded and we have to realize that he has good plans for our future. The choice really comes down to our desire to want to listen and trust him completely with those plans. The other way that we can grow in our faith this year is to give him our worries and be filled with joy and peace. I love the opportunity to pray with people, but so many times I pray with people and they're just wrestling and struggling with fear and anxiety. God's word says in Psalm 55, verse 22, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. Like, I love that it says that. You know, have you any of you been walking around on the ice lately? I have a bit of a steep driveway and it's pretty fun sometimes when there's no salt. And I'm like, hey, I think I'm godly. Lord, help me not to slip and fall, you know, because I don't want to hurt myself. You know, I just don't like that, and nobody does. But you know what? It's that feeling where you're on the ice and you're walking carefully and you're just, okay, where do I step? I love that God's word specifically says, he will not permit the godly to slip and fall. Give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. Don't worry. Trust him. That's for someone here today. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, so humble yourself under the mighty power of God. And at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And then again, Romans chapter 15, verse 13 declares, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. God's word is full of truth, and it's for us to walk in and to embrace. It's true what Matthew chapter 6, verse 27 says. Can all your worries add a single day to your life? No way. It just takes days away. It just takes those days away. So what should set us apart from people who don't know Jesus? It should be our joy and it should be our peace. Like, that's a tough one sometimes, right? Because we fret. But it should be our joy and it should be our peace. It should be the life of Jesus living in us that sets us apart. You know, I know we all have our struggles. And sometimes we don't let our light shine at the time when we're feeling faith challenged. And I've been at that place where the worries have overwhelmed me and I just couldn't see the joy or the peace. I was wrestling with the promises of God. Listen, it's okay to wrestle with the promises of God. Do you think God doesn't know? Do you think he doesn't understand where we are at? He knows where we're at. He knows our frailty as human beings. It's okay to wrestle with the promises of God. It doesn't make you less of a follower of Jesus. Don't deny that they are truth. But it's okay to wrestle. Because if it's not okay, I'm in trouble. But I really thank God for the friends and the family who encourage me and have encouraged me in those challenging days. So share your struggles. Share your burdens. You're not alone. Look around you. Friends, these are your brothers and sisters. These are people that you get to spend eternity with. And there's lots more all around the world that we're going to spend all eternity with. Share your burdens. Share your struggles. Don't be afraid and worried about, well, gee, can I trust that person or not? Yeah, you know, ask. That's not a bad question to ask, right? Like, you know, can you trust the person you're sharing with? Share with people you'll trust. But, you know, think the best. Think the best, not the worst. Yeah? You know, it's when we are wrestling that we need to get around the family members of the community of faith. Encourage each other to trust him fully. So if you're here this morning again and you're worrying and you're wrestling with worries in your life, know that you don't have to struggle with those things alone. The Lord is good. Number two, decide this year to living a life of greater obedience to God. And I'm moving quickly through this. Obeying God is difficult in the world that we live in, isn't it? Yeah? But we're so much better off by learning through obedience. Because what's the option? If you don't learn through obedience, generally speaking, if you don't learn through obedience, you get taught the hard way. Yeah, that's the hard way. Through difficult experiences. You see, we can live in obedience by serving him and caring for others. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4 says this about serving God. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him. Serve him and hold fast to him. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. John chapter 12, verse 26 says, anyone who wants to be my disciple must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Are you serving the Lord? If you're serving the Lord, if you're being obedient to the Lord, he will honor you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. You know, there's sometimes when we have worship practice and I'm leading worship or something, and I don't play any instruments, and so I'll jokingly say, well, hey, if you want me to, I can jump on the piano. Or if you want me to, I can jump on the drums or something like that. You know, and everybody goes, yeah, please don't. I'll make a joyful noise to me, but it might not be joyful to anyone else, right? I appreciate the gifts that God gives people, not just in music, but in everything. People that are called to intercede and pray. People that are called to just evangelize and reach out and just naturally just encourage people, just their personality, and they have that boldness. They're evangelists, right? Like, I mean, God's given such a variety of gifts. We're encouraged to use them. I like what one author writes this. He says, in the biblical language, service means to aid, relieve, help, attend, or to wait on people through menial duties. Service can include almost any work that benefits others. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples and said that the greatest will be the servant to the rest. His disciples were to minister or serve others, especially the needy. It is helping with those unfinished, often thankless details as a servant of God and the church. It is volunteering to get the job done. You love the church and you want to help where you are needed, not minding the mundane or labor-intensive task. Your attitude is this: I'm happy to serve Jesus and the church. Someone has to do it. It might as well be me. You know, in different parts of the world, and I've spoken with a few of my different friends here in the church, in different parts of the world, you know, ministers do different things. And in some places, you know, the culture is just different. Ministers, you know, just kind of do certain things. They don't set up chairs, or they don't do these things or that thing. And that's okay in that culture. But, you know, I just really think it's important for ministers to serve, right? And we need to serve. We need to lead by example, right? So again, there's nothing wrong with people serving, but we all need to serve. I'm not in a different position that I'm not able to set up chairs, or I can't run wires or pick up garbage or do whatever. I will do all of those things. There's nothing that I want to ask you to do that I'm not willing to do myself, except maybe climb on the roof of the church. So Jim, thank you for doing that, because I really don't like heights, and I don't think anybody wants me laying on the ground one morning when you come over to the church because I fell off the roof. That would suck for many reasons. I would not want that to happen. So use your gifts. But I love that. I'm happy to serve Jesus and the church. Someone has to do it. It might as well be me. Thank you for serving. Thank you for serving. So if you're engaged and you're serving in some area of the church or this community in the name of Jesus, thank you. Keep using your gifting. And if you need to find a place to serve and you're wondering where you can be involved, there are opportunities awaiting you. It might not be exactly what you're thinking, but it's an opportunity for you to serve, because you can have that. Someone has to do it. It might as well be me, even if it's just for a little while, even if it's just to learn, hey, maybe this isn't exactly the right spot for me. I'm going to find a different spot. Next thing is, we can live in obedience by tithing regularly and giving out of generosity. You know, this is an area that can be really challenging for many in the church, and it shouldn't be the case. The act of giving 10% of all God has given you is actually pretty amazing, right? I heard it once said that it's like rent for living on his earth, right? It's paying rent for living on his earth. That's a pretty good deal. right? It's a pretty awesome earth. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 and 32 share this concept with us. 1/10 of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. Count off every 10th animal from your herds and flocks and set them apart for the Lord as holy. So if you have some flocks, take 10%. Here's what the word of God says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven to you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Like, come on, right? Another author writes this. Christian maturity is not based upon the concept of God, what can you give me? Rather, it's an attitude which expresses gratitude to God and a thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me. Now, what can I do for you in return? Mature Christians see the need and they fill it. They see their responsibility and they respond to it. I promise you, God will respond to your act of obedience and you'll be amazed at what happens. Number three, finally, decide to know God better this year. How do you do that? You can do that by reading and studying the Bible and talking to God. You see, the greatest thing that we can do to know him better is to spend time each day in God's word and pray and study his word. You know, as a follower of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and the Spirit will allow you to understand what God has written for us. Psalm 119, verse 105 says this, Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. God's word is powerful. Amen? Amen. Amen. And then finally, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17 reinforces all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. We need God's word. As I wrap up this morning, let me remind you that it's God's faithfulness, his working in and through us as his people, that we can rejoice and we can say that you are good, God. This is his church, and we will serve the Lord until he returns. Doug, if you would just come, invite the team. As we wrap up this morning, I just want to take a couple of minutes to show you what God has done over this past year through your faithfulness to serving him. And I just want to thank Leslie and Priya as well, who helped put together this video, a short video, a bit of a review of this last year. And I just want to thank you, Leslie, for taking all the pictures you've taken over the last year. Always with that camera, taking pictures, and we have awesome pictures. That camera, it's like a cannon. You don't want to get in the way of that thing. But friends, listen. This is just a bit of a picture, a few minutes, for you to see what God has done, to be reminded of his faithfulness, to be excited, to anticipate what God has for you in 2017, and how is he going to work in and through you. So why don't you bring the lights down, turn the volume up, and just watch this video for a couple minutes. Your goodness, I've known your mercy.
Hey.
Amen. Amen. God is good. God is good. Amen. 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 So as the worship team plays, we have to always ask, where do you go from here? You and I have a choice to make. It truly is by getting to know God better this year that we would have a clearer understanding of that living water that Jesus talked about all those years ago to that woman at the well. That by living in obedience to God, that we can choose a life that would be filled with meaningful service to both God and people around us in need. That by growing in our faith, we can see His plans take root in our lives and trust Him in the process as we are totally blown away by what He does in all of that. It truly is a year of possibility for all of us. What will you choose to do this year with God? Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 again. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. I end with this question that you can take away with you today. Ask yourself this. God, what do you want to do in and through my life in 2017? God, what do you want to do in and through my life in 2017? And remember, He wants to do both. Working in your life to build you up and through your life to reach others and to build up the body of Christ. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning if you're able to stand as we close. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to invite you today into a relationship with Him. I want to invite you to accept Him into your life today. That your 2017 can be completely different than what you thought it might be. That with the Lord in your life, with Jesus in your life can be completely changed and transformed by His power. That Jesus Christ can be with you each and every single day, walking with you each and every single day. And if that's you this morning, I just want to invite you, I want to encourage you, stay, come and meet with me after the service. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to share a little bit more about Jesus with you. But I want to pray with us together this morning as we close. The worship team is just going to lead us in a song as we close in a moment, but can we pray together? Father, we just thank You for Your good grace, Your amazing grace, Lord. We thank You, Jesus, that You have set a path before us. Lord, we thank You that You give us a word, Lord. You speak to us through Your word. God, we can pray, we can seek You, Lord, that You lead us. And God, we can go into 2017 knowing that You have good plans for us. Good plans for us. We thank you, Jesus, that today is the day that we can receive you into our hearts. Lord, that we don't have to walk out of this place the same as we maybe walked in, Lord, but we can be transformed by your power. So I pray, Lord, that if there be anyone here today that does not know you, Lord, that they would receive you today with open hands, with an open heart to say, Jesus, come into my life. I want to know you. God, the heavens rejoice. We rejoice, Lord. I pray for each and every single one of us here as a follower of you, Lord Jesus, that we would commit ourselves to you, to decide to go deeper with you in 2017, that we would reap the reward, the benefit of trusting you in a greater way this year. Jesus, help us to walk in faith and not fear. Lord, help us to walk out in the power of your Holy Spirit today, knowing that you lead us, knowing that you fill us to overflowing. We thank you, Lord, that you have good things in store for us. And Lord, we get to spend eternity with you one day. But God, until you return, help us to be found doing your work, using the gifts that you've given us to serve the church, to serve you, to serve people in this community so they would come to know you. Lord, we'll trust you in this. Thank you, Father. We pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Worship team, lead us to close.